Take your Bibles and let's turn to chapter 2, verse 14. And I want to mention something when I finished a while ago. Dave Gant came running up here, and he was raised in some very fundamental churches, very, very legalistic churches. And he said every time he heard the book of James taught, where it talks about works in the book of James, that this was interpreted as doing work in the church. You know, you can't miss church. You got to be there every time. You got to mow the yard and in church. And it was always taken as work in church, and not the fact that it's a personal thing that you would do for yourself and carry it out the door, so to speak. I said today, that probably really affected you, and you would agree with that, right? I mean, as you went through that, mercy. Now, can you imagine how that would? That's a misuse of the concept, totally. And by the way, some churches like that put everything into the church. It must be done in the church. It must happen in the church, and otherwise you're not working, and you know, you're right, and blah 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 blah. And of course, that's just dead wrong. That's just dead wrong. All right, let's go to chapter. We just have 15 minutes. Chapter 2, start at verse 14. He says this: what use is it, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Now look, the issue is not about salvation. It's not about salvation. It's about living the Christian life. So what if someone says he has faith, but there are no works coming out of his life? There's nothing produced. There's no energy produced for the Lord. Nothing coming out of his life. Can that faith save him? That sounds like salvation to me. Well, you have to go back to verse 14. Can that faith save him from the issue of being judged because he's not shown mercy? That's the context of where that would go. Can that faith alone save him? Now, I've done something that has helped me in these verses that come up here. On the word works in the passage, I have put the word response, because I think that that's what's going on as you look at the idea of you are to do works. Now, look up here a second. Here's what James is saying. You have faith, and that faith should produce a response, that is, works out of your faith in your Christian walk. That faith should produce response. You should be responding from your faith, from the faith in your life. You are to be responding and doing works. Now try this, but play a little game with me here. Look at verse 14 again. He says, if a man says he has faith and has no response, can that faith save him from a judgment? You got to go back to verse 13, from being judged. Can that faith alone save him? Because he's not shown any mercy. Nothing's coming out of his life. Oh, he has faith, but he's not showing any mercy. So can that faith alone in his relationship to the Lord save him from being judged by the Lord? Now keep going. Come on, and I think I'll prove the point as you come on down. Look at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no response, is dead, because it stands by itself. Look at verse 18, the last part of verse 18. I will show you my faith by my response. By my response. Come over to, look at verse 24. Verse 24, he says, you see that a man is justified by response and not by faith alone. Verse 25, in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by her response? She responded to what the messenger said, the spies said when they came in, the city. She responded to them. She hid the spies. See, what I'm doing? I'm putting in a word that may clarify somewhat what he means by the word the faith. Look at verse 26. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also is faith without a response is dead. That is, that faith is not producing anything. Nothing responding is coming out of the faith that one has. This has helped me. It may not you, but it has certainly helped me. Now let's go back to verse 14. What use is it, my brothers, if a man says he has faith, but he has no response to what he sees in this life going on, and that's what he's going to say in the verses that follow, can that faith save him from a judgment? Verse 13, that God is going to give him because he showed no mercy. He's shown no mercy. See, when you see the word saved, you automatically think of salvation. But that's not what James is dealing with. James is dealing with the issue of faith producing something, faith causing something, a response that comes out of that faith. All right, look at verse 15. Now, this will prove my point, I think, a little more. The idea of a response. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled. In other words, you have faith, but you're not responding. Look up here. You're not responding to the need of that person. You're not responding to the need of that person. See why that word response helps me? You're not responding. You say, hey, just go and warm yourself. I'm not going to give you any clothes. I have faith. But I'm not going to respond to your need. Just warm yourself. And you do not give them what is necessary for the body. What use is that faith? What use is that faith? It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't warm someone who's cold. And there's no response coming out of your faith. Now look, he'll go on with this idea. Look at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has no response, that faith is dead because it stands alone. It stands alone. I've got faith, but nothing is coming out of that faith. But someone may well say, well, you have faith, and here comes a key verse in the book of James. Someone may well say, you have faith and I have works, but show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my response, by my works, what comes out of me from my faith. I will show you by my faith, by what I do, the work that I do, the response that I have to someone who is cold and has no clothes. You believe that God is one? Well, you do well. The devils also believe, and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without a response, without works, is useless? Now look up here a second. He's talking about living the Christian life. In the Christian life, that faith without a response doesn't help anybody. James has his feet on the ground. James is concerned about the Christian life producing something coming out of the Christian walk. That's James's driving concern. The Apostle Paul was concerned about salvation by faith. That was Paul's main, not 100%, but certainly a good 70% of Paul's driving concern. James's concern is, if we have faith in Christ, what is it producing for other people, concerning other people, concerning the needs of other people? Now look, he's going to do it again. He's going to show a down-to-earth illustration. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Oh my word, wait a minute. Paul says Abraham was just justified by faith. Wait a minute, you haven't finished reading. You got to keep reading. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? When, you can't throw the word when away, when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar. You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was matured. On Sunday morning, we've been discussing the issue of maturity, growing up. And faith is matured, look, when something is coming out of it, when something is produced by my faith. Then it is matured. It is made. It is perfected. It is matured. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wait a minute. James just went back to Genesis and pulled out a verse about Abraham's salvation, Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6. But now wait a minute. James is not through. He's not finished. Verse 24. You see that a man is justified by his response or by works and not by faith alone. In the same way. Now, wait a minute. James, prove your point. Prove your point. How was Abraham justified by works and not by faith alone? Look up here. When he did something. This has to do with when he did something in his life. When something came out of his faith. You see what I'm saying? Paul is concerned about his faith saving Abraham. James is concerned about Abraham's faith producing something. And that's what he's going to do with the next verse. You see that a man is justified by his response and not by his faith alone. In the same way, he's going to reach down in Jericho and pull out Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot was justified by a response or by works when she received the messengers. When, the word when's the key here. When she received the messengers and sent them out, the spies out by another way. In all three cases, what does James do? He reaches down and grabs illustrations that prove what? Not necessarily salvation, though he does have one verse about Abraham's salvation. But he reaches down and finds verses that talk about what Abraham did, what Rahab did. The word did is the key word here. From her faith. How do we know that Abraham Rahab was saved? Because she did something. She responded. She believed what the spies said, that they were from God, and that God would save her and her family. She knew that. And she responded to that. Look at verse 25 again. In the same way. In the same way. After we've discussed Abraham. In the same way was not Rahab the harlot justified. Now look up here a second. Justified before people. Justified in the eyes of people. Not justified for salvation in the eyes of God. But justified in the eyes of people by what she did. She produced a response or a work when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. In other words, her faith said this, I believe you are from God. And I'm trusting God because you represent God. You come in to spy the land out and God's going to judge this people. And I believe that you're from God. And I'm going to do something. My faith in the fact that God is working with you is going to do something. I'm going to hide you and send you out another way. She helped spare the spies. You see what James is doing? And you and I cannot just sit. You have a gift. You have a calling. Life is getting short. For everyone in this room, the hair is getting more white. More physical problems. Life is short. We are to serve God. And poor Dave Gann, all he heard was that, hey, work is, you got to come to the church, you got to do something here at the church, you got to mow the yard, you got to do this, you got to do that. That's a work. Well, that is a work, but that's not really what James has in mind. James has in mind the fact that you do something for someone. All of his illustrations are that you will do something for someone else. That's what James keeps pounding over and over again here. You will produce something that will aid or help someone else. And your work is a response from your faith. From your faith, that work will respond. Verse 26, and I just got about 5 minutes. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works concerning people's needs, if you will. Faith without response, faith without works is dead. Look up here. When it has to do with helping and being concerned for people, your faith is dead unless it produces something that will be a benefit to someone else. Now let's stop here. We got 4 minutes for questions on this passage. Anything? Do you understand? Anybody confused? You don't. No one in here is going to say you've got to be saved by your works. Your works are a response from your faith that saves you. Does everybody get it? Yeah, Dave?
I don't think that, and I was raised this way, but I think what James is saying is that there ought to be evidence of your faith. You know, I'm an American. You know, I should salute the flag, such a pledge of allegiance. Same way as a Christian, there ought to be some evidence that I have that.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. That's what he's saying. That's right. The only thing I would just add is that his illustration is continually over helping someone who's in desperate need.
Pure and undefiled religion.
Yeah, right. He produces something for someone else.
That's not church. Put it another way.
Yeah, right. Yes, Pat?
No change, no salvation.
No change, no salvation. That's good. That's a good saying. You got to be careful with it because it's a good statement. No change, no salvation. It's a good statement. But a believer can fall into lethargy. A believer can go to sleep. He can be saved. And there should be a looking at it carefully. I would agree with Pat. Looking at a person carefully.
He won't stay that way because he won't be happy that way.
He will not be happy. Most Christians that I know are saved, but they're just like toads. Nothing's going on in their life. Absolutely nothing is coming out of their life. They are not happy. They are not fulfilled. Their life can be very dull. Yeah, dude.
What connotation are we looking at faith in 26 there? What faith in God, or is it the faith of salvation?
It would include God and salvation, yes, in Christ and so forth. Yeah,
that's what it's
right. Yeah. It's saving faith. That's his context when he says speaks of faith. It's saving faith. Yeah, Joe.
Back in verse 9, it says talks about the law. Which law is it talking about?
I would say he's talking about the Mosaic law. Right. Sometimes law can be translated as just the principle, the law as a guiding principle. But I would say right off the bat that all the references here would be the law as the Mosaic law. Yeah, Other Joe?
Well, I was just thinking about works. James is talking about works. Wouldn't that be a good example of Matthew 31 through 42, when he talks all about when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and on and on. And those are the works.
Well, yeah,
and
in that case too,
right?
Yes, that's about the tribulation, but the same principle. Something came out of these would be coming out because they've trusted in Christ. In fact, look at that. Look at chapter 25 of Matthew. Right. Look at Matthew 25, and that's a good passage, Joe. Chapter 25, starting at 31, he talks about when the Son of Man comes and sits on his throne. Verse 31, he sits on his throne. Verse 33, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. The king will say to those on the right, come, blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And they will say, when did we see you this way? When did we see you this way? Verse 40, the king will answer and said, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it for me. In other words, their faith, they were helping the Jews before Christ came. That's its context. And they were doing it because they were trusting in Christ. They were trusting in Christ, and therefore they were producing something. They were aiding those who were in jail and prison, who were hungry and thirsty and so forth. You follow? So they were doing something because they were trusting in Christ. So yes, the principle is the same. That's a good point. Yes, Dave?
One more point. I think, you know, we're talking about salvation, faith, and works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, but the ones you both. Verse 10, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
For good works. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I got some suckers up here. You get one of them. You have to come up for a sucker. Perfect. You see what he said? We're saved for good works. We're saved by faith, not saved by works. Saved by faith for good works. For good works. And this is unique to Christianity. I'll tell you, this is unique for Christianity. Other religions can make works a way of salvation or no works at all. But Christianity puts the two together. One causes the other. The faith is dead. It's not going anywhere. That is, in terms of what it's doing for people, in terms of what it's doing for people, it is dead if there's no works coming out of that faith. It doesn't mean that you're not saved, but it means it's not producing something. It's if the spirit is dead, the body is dead. And so there's nothing coming out of the person. If he just has faith, nothing is coming out. Yeah, dude?
Yeah. Jesus,
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry.
This verse 18, Bush. This famous verse 18. Yeah, men may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works." If you just had the words, you can't. You can't show your faith without the works.
All right.
Jesus talked about this. He said the Pharisees, they looked the part, they acted the part, they made their phylacteries broad, they said long, repetitious prayers.
Right.
They gave money and showed the whole world how much they were giving the money. And he was talking about the same thing. That was how they were showing their faith, but it really wasn't their
right.
faith.
That's right. That's correct. All right. We've had a good time. I hope you all have a great Christmas. We'll see you in 2 weeks on a Monday night. And let's close in prayer. Father, we trust that there will be a blessed Christmas time, a time in which we reflect on what Christ has done for us, that we may share that with others. Take the opportunity. Because we have friends or relatives who are not saved, or certainly who do not see the spiritual message of this season. Father, help us do or say what we need to say. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the blessings that we can take for granted. Lord, don't let us take them for granted. Let's be most grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.